By the time this chapter begins, Musk had crossed into a different league of influence. Not just a billionaire author or a tech celebrity, but someone whose opinions fraudulent entire sectors. And the verity is, he didn't ease into that position. It hit him like a shock surge. What this period captured was a pivot, when his life shifted from erecting the future to defending and expanding the future at global scale. The difference sounds subtle, but the reality was anything purely. Let's walk into it. Tesla's success changed geography. Suddenly, the electric auto was no longer a niche curiosity. It was a standard everyone differently had to chase. Heritage automakers climbed. Politicians revised climate targets. Oil painting companies ran figures they didn't like. Intelligencers who used to treat Tesla as a sacrifice now watched it like jingoes circling above a battleground. Every daily update felt like a vote on the future of transportation. This wasn't a quiet triumph. It was a public bone, and that brought heat. When Tesla surged into the world's most precious automaker, Musk came a symbol of invention for some, dislocation for others, chaos for many. He didn't ask for symbolism, but it set up him anyway. Resemblant to this, SpaceX was at a curve point. Starship prototypes were rising from the fine plains of South Texas, wobbling, flipping, exploding, and proving commodity extraordinary with every replication. Indeed, the failures were triumphs. The aerospace world knew they were watching history be in real time, indeed if they didn't always admit it. And yet the scale of the thing, transferring humans to Mars, was so enormous that indeed small progress felt like lifting a mountain one pebble at a time. Musk poured himself into it. He studied machine performance angles, weld, line integrity, atmospheric reentry heat charts. He challenged brigades to move briskly, not recklessly, but with urgency. The charge timepiece in his head always sounded to run a little faster than everyone additional's. But then's the thing, while his companies climbed, the world around him came more complicated. Global politics started cutting with his systems. Starlink's satellite constellation touched off conversations in defense circles. Governments batted space regulation. Environmental groups challenged expansion plans. Every move he made created responses, profitable, political, artistic. And Musk, who preferred the straightforward sense of engineering problems, set up himself scuffling with forces that didn't operate on sense at all. Around this time, the constant pace, the launches, the product lines, the deals, the heads, the public scrutiny, began shaping him in visible ways. He looked more tired. His jokes grew sharper. He oscillated between violent sanguinity and inversely violent frustration. Some days he sounded like a man ready to rebuild civilization from scrape. Other days, he sounded like someone who could not believe how slow the world moved. Not because he was intolerant for its own sake, but because he measured everything against a vision utmost people couldn't see yet. This period also marked a shift in how he approached threat. He'd always taken bold swings, but now he was facing problems that could be answered through sheer restraint. Erecting the world's largest manufactories needed political agreements. Global force chains didn't bend as fluently as rockets. Public companies came with rules. Influence came with counterreaction. He was navigating a maze that no author before him had walked, and the path kept twisting under his bases. And beneath all that, there was a quiet verity he infrequently said audibly the further success he gained. The further alone the trip came, utmost people around him couldn't shoulder the weight he carried. They could support him, sure, but they couldn't completely inhabit his mindset. That's the curse of vision. Driven work, it isolates you indeed as the world crowds around. Still, Musk kept pushing, because the horizon was calling, because the operations were end done, because he believed the worst mistake humanity could make was to settle. Occasion 10 opens with him standing in that strange space, triumphant yet dragooned, respected yet attacked, exhausted yet impregnable. The future was no longer a dream he was chasing. It was a responsibility he'd to deliver. And the stakes were about to get indeed bigger. What this chapter really explores is how Musk's world stretched in every direction at formerly. Success didn't simplify his life. It multiplied the layers. He was running companies that touched energy, transportation, aerospace, telecommunications, robotics, and AI, all at global scale. And every one of those sectors carried its own political weight, its own critics, its own heads. The tilting point came still, nearly invisibly, as his influence expanded faster than anyone, including him, completely realized. Let's break it down. By now, Tesla wasn't just dealing buses. It was anchoring entire public strategies. Governments wanted gigafactories. They demanded electric structure. They wanted jobs, investment, prestige. Suddenly, Musk was talking with world leaders the same way he talked with masterminds. Directly, pragmatically, and without form. Some leaders loved that. Others didn't know what to do with it. Meanwhile, SpaceX's launch meter kept accelerating. Falcon 9 came the world's most dependable rocket. Starlink began rolling out to remote communities, fishing vessels, disaster zones, war zones, anywhere traditional networks plotted. The real surprise wasn't the technology, but the impact. In a world where communication is power, giving people instant global connectivity was a seismic shift, and Musk felt the weight of that power. Not in a grand, triumphant way, more like someone holding an object heavier than it looks, realizing slow and late that dropping it would beget real damage. Starlink forced him into geopolitics whether he liked it or not. Countries wanted content. Some demanded control. Some stressed the counter-accusations. Some tried to block it. And Musk, who preferred clarity and sense, set up himself scuffling with politic knots that did and observe moreover. At the same time, Neuralink was inching forward. Beforehand trials show pledge. The idea of restoring movement or speech was ent wisdom fabrication presently. People with palsy began controlling cursors bias, indeed robotic branches through implants. For Musk, this was ent a cool tech rally. It was a morning a commodity much bigger, guarding humanity against raw AI by creating a tighter link between mortal intention and machine processing. But that charge landed him in another storm. Ethicists questioned the pace. Controllers dithered. Critics argue about safety, sequestration, gospel. Musk didn't see Neuralink as voluntary. He saw it as survival. That urgency made him sound extreme to some people. But he'd formally made peace with extreme. This period of his life was defined by disunion. Internal, external, all of it mixing together. Indeed, inside his companies, the culture plotted under the haste. Brigades grew briskly than leadership structures. Some workers felt overwhelmed. Others thrived. Musk remained gravitational center, but graveness that strong always pulls and distorts. His prospects rose. His tolerance weakened. His trust narrowed to a lower inner circle. And yet, when effects clicked, they really clicked. Starship reached a stage where each prototype felt near to the real thing. Raptor machines hit mileposts that masterminds formerly said were nearly insolvable. Tesla ramped product in multiple mainlands. Battery improvements drew nearer. Energy storehouse started replacing traditional power shops. The Boring Company pushed ahead on coverts. Slow, but steady. It was a time of acceleration, but also fragmentation. Musk's life resolved into chambers. He constantly switched between 1 hour he was reviewing orbital circles. The coming hour he was in a fight about force chains. Also a meeting on plant robotics. Also a discussion about satellite diapason. Also an extremity call about regulation. It was unsustainable and he knew it. But decelerating down felt more dangerous than the prostration. He believed the charge timelines were tight. That the world wasn't moving presto enough on climate change. That space progress had been stagnant for decades. That waiting carried its own kind of threat. And beneath all this, a subtle shift was passing in how the public saw him. He'd always been respected for daring ideas, blamed for chaotic jest. But now he was getting commodity further polarizing, an interface between the world's dreams and the world's fears. Some saw him as a force for progress. Others saw him as reckless. Some trusted him with the future. Others didn't trust him with the present. It was in particular. It was a scale of his impact. Occasion 10. Part 2 captures that widening gap between his intentions and the world's responses. He was erecting tools he believed humanity desperately demanded, but the bigger the tools came, the further controversial their actuality felt. And through all this noise, he kept returning to the same question that had followed him since Nonage: how do you push civilization forward, when civilization keeps scrupling? By the end of this part, Musk is juggling further influence and pressure than ever ahead, standing at the center of a storm he helped produce, half by ambition, half by necessity. This part marks the moment where Musk's world felt stretched to its absolute limits. Not collapsing, not cracking, but bending, like an essence ray under enormous cargo. He was carrying influence, prospects, and liabilities so big they didn't fit neatly inside any one life. And the verity is, he could feel the pressure indeed if he didn't admit it audibly. Let's walk into the heart of it. The further success his companies earned, the further the outside world dragged at him. Every move he made landed with thud across industries. However, heritage automakers replied within hours if Tesla shifted pricing. However, entire space agencies acclimated their strategy balconies if SpaceX streamlined its Starship timeline. However, requests twitched, intelligences wrote supposed pieces if he posted commodity online. It was Ent power in the glamorous sense. It was responsibility carpeted in pressure. And during this period, you could see Musk wrestling with commodity deeper than logistics or engineering. He was trying to decide what kind of force he demanded to be. Inventor? Disruptor? Middleman? Provocateur? Visionary? He kept drifting between places. Not because he enjoyed the chaos, but because the world kept demanding different performances of him. The internal conflict grew sharper. On one side, his charge instincts pushed him to move briskly. Make further manufactories. Ramp rockets. Scale energy storehouse. Expand Starlink. Accelerate AI alignment. Time felt short. Civilization, in his eyes, wasn't moving anywhere near presto enough. The longer humanity delayed, the further threat accumulated on the horizon. On the other side, global systems push back. Regulations break systems. Politics obtruded. Cultural debates filtered into everything. Indeed, force. Chain choices sparked geopolitical pressure. He couldn't wangle his way out of those obstacles. He had to navigate them, and navigating commodity illogical is harder than erecting a rocket. There's a moment people close to Musk describe from this period in normal meeting where he broke amid discussion, goggled at a whiteboard full of timelines, and said, "Still, this is all moving too slow." Not angry, just tired. And behind the frazzle, a hint of fear that the window for real change might close before humanity stepped through it. That sense of urgency shaped his opinions. He ramped Starship testing. He pushed Tesla's independent systems harder. He nudged Neuralink toward mortal trials. He expanded battery exploration. He piled further work on himself than anyone could nicely carry because he didn't see another path. To him, actuality was fragile, and the periphery for error was thin. But while he was sprinting ahead, public scrutiny kept enhancing. Every choice sparked debate. Every timeline was interrogated. Every success brought allegations of monopoly or overreach. Every failure turned into a global spectacle. The story wasn't just about invention. Presently, it was about control, trust, and the fear of one person steering the future. This period also revealed commodity utmost people didn't notice Musk's sanguinity was Entlight, airy sanguinity. It was heavy. It came from a belief that humanity could do inconceivable effects, paired with a constant solicitude that we might not. That duality made him both inspiring and changeable. And inside his companies, people felt the same duality. The excitement of working on civilization, scale systems mixed with the prostration of the pace. Some thrived. Some burned out. But nearly everyone agreed on one thing. Musk saw the world a many frames ahead of everyone differently. Whether he was right or wrong didn't matter in the moment. The instigation swept everyone forward. Toward the end of this phase, a clear pattern surfaced. Musk no longer measured progress by gains or product launches. He measured it by empirical mileposts. Are we cutting global emigrations presto enough? Are rockets reusably dependable enough? Is Starship on track for interplanetary operations? Is AI getting too important too snappily? Are humans prepared for the world or structure? These were Ent abstract questions for him. They were the roster he lived by. Occasion 10 closes on a quiet turning point. Not a dramatic event, but a shift in mindset. Musk was no longer driven only by ambition. He was driven by a sense of brewing deadlines. The work ahead was bigger than anything he'd tried ahead. The stakes were advanced. The pitfalls were sharper. It was not about erecting companies now. It was about steering the line of civilization itself. And he knew he was standing right at the edge of commodity, enormous commodity that could review everything humanity becomes coming.